the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 10 minutes into hour two after visits to South Florida with Marty McGee and Jay Privman. Nick Tamaro joining us now. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. First thing I guess we got to do is take our lumps after last week. I didn't whiff completely, but I thought I was in good shape in the cross-country pick five, and then we went down the dusty road, the Arkansas bred stake that spun things out of control. And at Gulfstream, we were in trouble early in Game Builder last week.
Yeah, didn't really get off the ground. Kid happens. You know, it was not. I guess if the Stanley Huff horse runs down the hot first or from Jorge Duarte, then we would have at least been alive on a few more tickets. But Prince Lucky was a very impressive winner, and then those maiden turf routes that we talked about in the last can be difficult, and when you rely a little bit too much on Chad, then that can happen. And Shugmagay, he's still perfectly capable of having a first timer ready to go. So hats off to anybody who hit it. We took our shot and live to fight another day.
Absolutely, and that day is tomorrow. We can look forward to really an interesting card. It's not exactly what I was kind of hoping, and to some degree, because there's going to be some very heavy favorites, especially late on the card. And I just was speculating that if Precious in the Honey Fox and Jaywalk in the Devona Dale, and then Hidden Scroll, if the three of them win, the pick four and even the pick five are not going to be worth playing unless you leverage and are going to play a $10 pick four and have real firm opinion in the nightcap.
Yeah, that is pretty much how it shakes out, and you'd hope that Bellevay and Dolce Lily would have taken enough money to maybe let Precious's morning line, or let her price float up. You mean you don't think she's going to be the second choice on the morning line, Precious? I was a tad surprised to see that. I know morning line bashing has played out, but I'm pretty sure that 7-2 will look a little bit more like 7-5 off of her 95 speed figure in second place finish to Uni, who only came back and swept the rest of the year, including a big win at the end of the year in the Matriarch. So I would imagine Precious will be a very heavy favorite. Looks like the race should unfold fairly well for her with Valedictorian and La Signore, and even with Scotty's Models jockey allergic to the front end, that horse should be somewhat forwardly placed. Conquest Hard Handy has some speed, so looks like things should set up well. Jaywalk really looks like she has to hopefully, and this won't happen, have something go wrong to lose. She's just significantly better than those horses and figures to have a huge pace advantage from the inside. Hidden Scroll is, this is the question, and you know, that was a little bit of a topic that was touched on Twitter yesterday, which, you know, you'll get obviously a wide variety of opinions. Hidden Scroll is a bad bet tomorrow. And that's the point that a lot of people were trying to make. And Hidden Scroll can win tomorrow, and it doesn't mean a damn thing about whether he was a good bet. If he wins tomorrow at 8-5, he's a bad bet. And most people who are ever successful betting on racing are betting against horses like Hidden Scroll. He is a second-time starter that earned a gigantic speed figure on a wet track that was extraordinarily speed favoring, and while he completely obliterated those horses, that was a very weak maiden special weight field. And you'll learn a little bit about it with Chad Brown's second time starter coming back tomorrow, but I think to hand this race off to him in a circumstance where he figures to see a lot of pace pressure, and there's one speed horse after another in this field, from Gladiator King towards the inside, Epic Dreamer set that very, very fast pace in the Holy Bull that gave way to Harvey Wallbanger winning. Vekoma is not exactly a slouch when it comes to having speed. You'd expect him to be somewhat forwardly placed. I can't imagine Global Campaign is going to be reined in to race off the pace. And Frosted Grace on the outside was close to a strong pace last time, too. So if you're betting on Hidden Scroll tomorrow, what you're betting on is that he is so vastly superior to these horses that you're going to be willing to take 8-5 on a horse that still has to prove himself against any legitimate level of competition on a dry racetrack, and those are bad bets. So that being said, I would use a few horses in the Maltese. I think there are some real alternatives. I think Signal Man and Bourbon War are real alternatives. I would use Code of Honor as well, and I think what you are doing in this spot is you're opening yourself up to a few possibilities that could get you into the last race, the McDermott, where, I mean, I think when push comes to shove, there are really two win candidates, and everybody else is sort of a backup, those two win candidates being Zulu Alpha and Channel Maker. And as much as I love my old friend Highland Sky, I'm not in any big rush to take him off a six-month layoff in a campaign that should have started back on Pegasus Day. He can win this race, but he's going to need a little bit more pace than I think there is on paper, and I think that does unfold properly for Zulu Alpha. Zulu Alpha was a great claim. It was a very dangerous horse in the care of Mike Maker, because I think he can be effective from a mile and a quarter to a mile and a half, and he's not one of those reclamation projects that Maker got for $35,000. This was a horse claimed for $80,000 in a race where he earned 103 buyer. So this is a horse that was in very good form when they got him. John Ortiz did a good job to get him to win the Sycamore, and I thought the McKnight was a real step forward, racing somewhat close to a pace that pretty much fell apart, and he held off his stablemate Solio very nicely in a mile and a half. So I think a mile and 3/8 might be just exactly what he wants distance-wise, and he seems to be the clear alternative to Channel Maker, who, let's not kid ourselves, when Channel Maker was victorious last year, he was sort of in control of his trip. He either went to the lead and was able to dominate on the front end on a wet turf course like he did in the Joe Hirsch, or he raced close to an isolated leader in the Bowling Green that he ended up dead heating with. So that circumstance may not present itself. It's enough for you to use an alternative to Channel Maker, and to me it's very clearly Zulu Alpha.
Well, and I thought Zulu Alpha was the key, because there is also, you know, the matter, you know, of the where the, it's a three turn race. It starts on the right on the turn, and from the outside post, there's a little bit of a, you know, an added burden for Channel Maker. The rail is at 24 feet, and that does not help the outside horses. The two alternatives that I basically wrote this up, I went 6 with 11, 4, 5, 8. And I would just point out Hunter O'Reilly and Vittori Kin as, at the very least, for those of you playing exotics, those are your exotic players at you know, decent numbers, actually. And when I did that, I hadn't seen the pricing, but Hunter O'Reilly's 10-1 and Vittori Kin 12-1, and that actually, those prices may hold in an 11-horse field.
Yeah, I think so, and I think you're going to get a tremendous amount of support for the favorite, and what you alluded to is accurate, which is that I would imagine Joel Rosario is going to have to ask Channel Maker for a little bit of speed right out of the gate at risk of losing his way a little bit and being wide, which you obviously don't want to do. So, with Village King and this kind of dopey Jaime Mejia horse in the race that probably should inject some pace, you could see it being a legitimate pace for a mile and 3/8 race. I'm not going to go so far as to say it's going to be fast. I will say that users of Timeform US will notice that this is rated on the pace projector, a race that should have a fast pace. So if you believe that, you definitely want to have Zulu Alpha. You obviously want to use Highland Sky, I think, as a backup. Highland Sky is a horse that's just been tremendously unlucky throughout his career, and really the only dry turf race that he got in those final three starts of 2018 came in the Sword Dancer, where a Glorious Empire more or less just kind of cruised along on a very firm, very hardened turf course that he was never really going to quicken on and never really was going to be able to cut into that margin, and he actually did pass a few horses. So Highland Sky is a horse that's shown some ability in the past, and if Manny Franco can keep him out of trouble and let him make that one run, if they move at least a little bit in front of him, he can get there. But boy, I mean, 9-2 is just really, and that feels like around a fair price. Just, he's the kind of horse that you feel like if you're right about, you want to get rewarded a little bit more.
Let's go back to the Fountain of Youth, Nick, and talk about one of your favorite BCBC approaches, and that's, I suppose, a try. Let's put together try tickets here for people, which will probably be the game builder concept. Maybe a try and late double, perhaps. Maybe that's what we'll do for tomorrow. But talk about how you leverage the understanding that Hidden Scroll is, you know, very much a likely winner. But if you're going to try to make money in this race, how do you do it?
Yeah, I think, you know, my best approach here, trifecta-wise, would be to key Code of Honor, Bourbon War, and Signalman, and toss Hidden Scroll. You know, relegate him to the minor slots and play 1-4-6 with 1-4-6 with 1-2-4-5-6-7-8-9. And that's going to be a base bet of $18 for every 50 cents. So you would put them first and second, first and third, and second and third. And what you'd be hoping for there, obviously, the score is if they run 1-2-3. And what you'd be hoping for is that somebody would, that obviously Hidden Scroll does not fire, and that this ends up just being a little bit too much for him too soon. And in that case, I think you have the three of the four likeliest winners after that. Vekoma, for me, is a horse that they're asking a lot of first off the layoff. Going a mile in the 16th, going two turns, and what looks like a pressure-packed race. I know he has a running style that's very conducive to Gulfstream Park, but he's going to be a little too short a price for me to want to consider. And that is where I think you get just enough value on Code of Honor, Bourbon War, and Signalman.
So run it down again, 1-4-6 with 1-4-6, so 3 by 2, and then the five that get added in the third slot, 1-4
would be the 2-4-5. I'm sorry, the 2-5-7-8-9 is who you'd add in the third spot.
Well, actually, so write the ticket as so you were,
yeah, one,
call
four,
the ticket as if you were
one,
betting
four,
it.
Six. Right, 1-4-6 with 1-4-6 with 1-2-4-5-6-7-8-9.
Very good. There you go.
And then what you can do from there, I mean, that opens you up to a few possibilities where if you want to come back and you want to key one of those horses, a lot of times what I'll do, especially in a, you know, in a contest setting, is I'll come back and of those three, whoever you like the best, let's say it's Signalman, and you might play 6 with 1-4, and then you might narrow it down again, and you play it 6 with 1-4 with 1-2-4-5-6-7. And what you're going to do is hit that a couple of times, because I mean that's a base bet of just $8 for a dollar. So, and then in an effort to mix that around a little bit, you could play 6 with 1-2-4-5-6-7 with 4-6 with 1-4.
Right.
So
1-4.
You know, you've right. And so if two of those three are in the money, you've positioned yourself very well, especially if one of them wins. And I'll write it all up and you can post it. I don't really see scratches changing anything in here. I don't know how anybody, hopefully none of the principals scratch out. But I think the point being that we kind of touched on the multi-race plays, and now we're talking about the intra-race plays. And the way to bet this race is to bet against Hidden Scroll. And you know, I don't see how you could. I understand maybe there are some people out there that are looking to play like a big Hidden Scroll over Bourbon War Exacta or something like that. That's just not my cup of tea and not something that I want to do. I see him really getting hammered down to probably less than 7-5, and in that case, I'd be perfectly happy to take my chances against him. And that's not to say that he's not a good horse. You know, I want to make sure everybody understands that. I think Hidden Scroll has the potential to be outstanding, but and I see the comparisons that some people are drawing to Justify as a super fast debut winner and then coming back, you know, not long thereafter. Justify came back in an allowance race. This horse is coming back in a Grade 2 stake where there are multiple graded stake winners, a couple of horses that I think coming out of 2018 we were really excited about seeing as three-year-olds in Signalman and Vekoma. We've seen Bourbon War step forward after hardly embarrassing himself in what looked like a pretty productive Remsen. And you have Code of Honor, who's Grade 1 placed, having run the type of race running style-wise that would really put him squarely in the mix here. So this is a difficult objective, and it's just the right time to take that chance against him. If we're talking next week, even if it's on Monday, about Hidden Scroll being a horse that went out and just really 86 this field like he did in his debut, or even somewhat similar, then clearly we're dealing with what would at that point be one of the Derby favorites, and it would be great to see this late developer come onto the scene and show himself to be very, very strong. But I think we're still at the point where being critical of him is the best approach.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And if we were going to do a double into that nightcap,
I mean, my main double would be 6-6, which would be Signalman into Zulu Alpha. I would obviously use the 1-4 with the 6, and I would play it in that fashion, just using Zulu Alpha, because really my opinion in there is that I like him best. And if one of my three main horses in the Fountain of Youth can win getting into him, I mean, I would imagine the smallest of those doubles would probably be somewhere in the range of $40, figuring Signalman's about a $12 horse, and I figure Zulu Alpha's probably more like an $8 horse, probably upwards of $50. And if that's the case, you're going to play those three doubles. Just weighted consistent with the odds in the Fountain of Youth, maybe you'll play the Bourbon War to Zulu Alpha double for a little bit less, but you're going to play Code of Honor for a little bit more and Signalman for a little bit more.
Excellent. All right. Anything else on the? Not exactly. Well, that's the beauty. It's like baseball. It's a game of redeeming qualities.
Exactly.
What else did you see on the card that might be worth noting?
You know, the stakes that are loaded up towards the beginning of the card, they'll be interesting to watch. I don't really know how. Oh, the maiden that I mentioned, actually, I wanted to say that horse is High Amplitude, who is the 7 in the 10th race. So that will actually kick off the pick 5. And he was the distant second place finisher to Hidden Scroll, and yet is not the morning line favorite. Somehow the horse that he beat by 8 lengths is morning line favorite. But I think that High Amplitude will go off a pretty big favorite, and people will expect it. There are going to be some people who want to use this as a gauge for Hidden Scroll. Hidden Scroll was sort of in a race of his own, but that looks like an interesting maiden race. You've got Haunt, who took a great deal of money in his debut, who's coming back. I wonder, and we talked about this race last week because that's where Paradise Lay for Stan Huff was coming out of. I wonder if everybody was still sort of shell-shocked from Hidden Scroll, and if Bill Mott's maidens, firsters were all taking more money than they should have. It seems like something that has kind of happened throughout the meet, because Haunt went off 3-1. Remember, these pace and workouts, other than to the clockers that may share their own information, the public learns nothing about those workouts. So it'll be interesting to see if he moves forward second off the layoff, or second time out, period, having been well backed, as I alluded to. He's got a good inside post and looks like he's got a little bit of speed. Here Comes the Bride has 3 Chad Brown trainees, and this feels like the type of race where he could easily be the trifecta, given that Golconda was a horse that showed some ability overseas as a 2-year-old, now comes back off a layoff, very, very deadly with these types. And Connectivity won a maiden race that also included his very impressive winner the other day. I think the horse's name is Beautiful Love for Paul Pompa or something like that. And Connectivity was sort of the beneficiary of circumstances because the other Chad Brown trainee kind of injected some pace into the race in the middle of it, and that's set things up for Connectivity. But between she and Combier Park and Golconda, boy, it really looks like he's got a lock on that field, and you understand why they didn't want to put that in any kind of pick sequences, even though choosing amongst the Chad Brown horses may be a feat in and of itself. I thought that the very one is kind of an interesting race. I'm interested in Danceland getting to a little bit longer trip again. She's going to be probably a fair price. I thought Semper Sententiae had a good look in terms of pace possibility. She was close to the pace in the La Prévoyante that just came apart a little bit late. And I thought Tricky Escape ran well in the La Prévoyante. And now gets to a drier surface. I think that it was very difficult to pick up that turf course on Pegasus Day. So I would give her another shot. She seems to fire every time. So that looked like an interesting enough race. And, you know, there's plenty of them to offer getting started very early on a 14-race card. I did think that one, that Recruiting Ready coming back in the Gulfstream Park Sprint off of that second-place finish behind World of Trouble looked like he'd be pretty tough early on. And so there's a million multi-race bets that you can make along the way on this card. So if you can find one that's a manageable type sequence, I think there's real money to be made. But as we said earlier, the late one looks like it could be very chalky, and you probably just want to pick out a couple of combinations and really zoom in.
Yeah, there's some spots, and to go back to that 10th race maiden special that you talked about, in addition to the ones that the horses that were chasing Hidden Scroll in a High Amplitude, and you mentioned that Identifier, he was basically run the same race 4 times in a row, and at some point you got to think would go forward. The same thing could also be said of Shug's horse, Felix the Fox, and I've been tracking this one coming out of that December 1st maiden race that's been so productive. That was the race that Kentucky Wildcat broke his maiden for Albertrani. Country House then one coming out of it second. Felix the Fox was third. And going to put on blinkers here. This is a tepid colt, so you expect, you know, fifth start, you know, three-year-old now and with some experience. The tepid out of Wine Princess that people might remember, Becky Weinmiller, who had so much fun with Wine Princess. Steve Margolis trained the daughter of Azari.
And, right.
We had Wine Princess, her exploits were well documented because we were in I would hear from Becky, and she was on the show, actually, during Wine Princess's run. And she kept really good company with some of the best fillies and mares of her era. And so got a little bit of a kind of rooting a little bit here for Felix the Fox. And he's going to be a price in here. I would not be surprised to see him perform well. And, you know, McPeak's got the Rated R Superstar sibling, Shanghai Superfly, High Amplitude. That was... beside Chad, there was also Ranger Up that was also making his second career start, and he's never been on a dry track.
Finally,
so who knows how good he is a mystery. And down on the rail, Albert Trani sends for Bob Masiello. That midshipman colt is a half to small bear, and own it if you want it. Has got a license to be okay, making a third career start for Tom and Masiello. So this is a really good group. And even though it's getting to be, you know, winter for these three-year-olds, there's going to be a parade of winners that come out of this 10th race. Obviously, only one graduates tomorrow, but keep an eye on that group.
No question, and this was a tremendously productive maiden race. As you mentioned, Country House came back and won, then came back and finished second in the Risen Stars. Fourth place finisher Midnight Curfew came back and won, improved his buyer figure by 5 points. Seventh place finisher Pulsate came back, improved his figure by 9, then by 6, ran a good second to Tikvin Flew, who is going to be in the Gotham, who I think ran second in the Jimmy Wingfield, and then broke his maiden last Saturday. Baffin Bay was the last place finisher. He came back and actually has won twice on the turf, but still has obviously improved. And obviously Kentucky Wildcat, the winner, unfortunately, ill-fated Kentucky Wildcat, but came back and ran a good second in the Sam Davis. So, yeah, very, very productive race. And I think the difference probably between a horse like Felix the Fox and some of these types like Identifier and the Trashman's Coming, who have just been running the same race over and over, is that now he's a three-year-old. So you're really expecting that step forward with a little bit of time and the blinkers going on. I'm expecting that he'll run quite a bit better. And he might be, other than expecting that High Amplitude is going to run better. High Amplitude had the real look of a plotter last time. I don't know if you necessarily want somebody with that horse with that kind of style on that surface, but nonetheless, you want to use both, and I think you'll see somebody that's pretty productive come out of here.
Well, Nick, I appreciate it. Game Builder tomorrow at our website and at Derby Trail, and best of luck. We'll have a lot to talk about next week. You told us actually that, you know, you're typically on the West Coast on Florida on Fridays. You want to hang around for a little Tampa Bay action next Saturday?
No, I'll actually be at the Gotham next week. I'm going to be
look at you
in the elements next week. Yeah, taking my father up to New York, and I'm going to spend a few days in the city. So I'll be at the Gotham, and then he and I are going to go to Louisiana Derby a couple of weeks after that. So yeah, I'm going to bounce around a little bit and see a few Derby preps.
Nice, I love it. Is there a contest that at Aqueduct Saturday?
There is. Yeah, the Gotham Challenge, $500.
Okay,
to enter.
That's what I thought.
And gonna do that. Actually, had planned the trip before finding out they were doing that, so obviously a little perk. And anybody that wants to join up, do it. And you can play through Naira Betts also. So I'm just an unpaid spokesman of Naira Betts. I will say that you can play the contest through there. And same deal, $500, $250 bankroll. I think they've got a Belmont Challenge seat and a couple NHC seats. Belmont Stakes Challenge, a great tournament. So if you have any interest in playing, it's a great way to start. Great way to start playing contests. Look at the reception on that Express Bet contest last week that they ran at Santa Anita. I mean, there were 250-plus players because the $500 price point is really very, very inviting. So if you can get in, do it.
Nice. I love it. Best of luck, but we'll talk to you from Tampa on Friday.
Sounds great, Steve. Have a good weekend. Thanks for having me.
Nick Tamaro, NTAM 1215. Let's take a break. We'll check in with Hammer. We got Ed DeRosa, James Scully. Quigley's tied up, so no Quigley today. So we'll do a little bit. There's not a whole bunch other than the race today at Santa Anita, the Pasadena tomorrow, and there's a couple of other little, there's a couple of spots. So we'll touch on it with Hammer. And then Mike Welch to close things out on this weekend preview at the races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and Rick Hammerly standing by. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Are you getting ready to head south again, I hear?
Yes, Tampa, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then some Tampa recapping. I may zip up to Ocala. The sale is... I think, what, the 12th and 13th is the March sale. So I thought I might reach out to Tom Ventura and do the show from Ocala for a couple of days before the HPA convention in Clearwater on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well,
I was going to ask you, because the Breeze show up there, I think, is the
7th, 8th, and 9th, if I'm not mistaken.
That makes sense.
And I was looking at that. So I was going to ask you if you might be up there for that, but you might come later for the sale, which, like you said, is the 12th and the 13th. I was. It looks like before I start back doing a couple things, I've got a little time to get out. So I was looking at heading your way, because that's why I asked you last week when you were going on Wednesday. So could show up at the Breeze Show there in Ocala. Got a couple of friends going to be there, and then you're going to be in Tampa, so could make it a little West Coast Florida weekend.
Very nice. So, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so just looking at flights now. So got to move when you can. So I think next I'll be starting back doing a couple things here in the middle of March, and I'll be glad about that. But I'm going to miss my free time, so I got to get a trip in.
Take advantage.
Before we all go, and boy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I did learn that work is definitely overrated. It's nice. I never thought I'd say that, but it's nice to take a little break in between if you get a chance, you know. But best thing that ever happened to me was this little break. I can't believe it. So, anyway, I'm fresh, ready to go. But yeah, not much happening out here in Southern California, horse-wise, that's for sure. Huh. Right. Unfortunately, I've made the news here for the last few weeks, but I think things back under control here. The weather's a little bit better with them talking about the track situation, of course. And, you know, we'll move on. I think they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, take things a little slow. And Jay Hubby wrote a very informative, interesting article about the situation, about the track superintendents and kind of what their job is out there and how they handle the situation. And, yesterday, back to racing and training and moving forward and, just so talking to the people out there, they're very confident that things are right. So we move forward.
On this topic, and I didn't know how much, you know, you're obviously, it's a awkward, not awkward, but it's a, you know, it's a little difficult. You can't, you know, you're not going to speak for Santa Anita in this setting, like you might under you know previous
right.
Auspice, but you know in general, Rick, give everybody a snapshot, and you lived through the you know the period of you know the upheaval that was involved, the Richard Shapiro and the mandate that came down from CHRB for the racetracks to move to synthetic, and it's unfair to call that a failed experiment because there you know there's plenty of positives, certainly enough that you know that there's several North American tracks, including you know some A circuits that are still utilizing synthetics, but explain what a racetrack organization and the you know the up and down management portion, how things get managed when it becomes apparent that there's a cluster of injuries and fatalities, and how the chain of command works and the reaction and what has to happen in these settings. I think it'd be valuable.
This first of all. It rains out here a lot in the wintertime. So, you know, it's rained this year. It didn't rain so much last year. 2 years ago, we had a ton of rain. So, you see, there's all kind of factions going on. You know, you have to have confidence in your track man, which they have good personnel out there. Dennis Moore left when I did at the end of last year and turned it over to Andy LaRocca, who's been there. He's probably been around that track more than anybody, and I literally mean that. He's worked under you know, the last three or four guys we've had. Rich Tedesco was there, and you know, Steve Wood. So Andy knows the place. He knows the routine. He knows what it is. So you have to have faith in him. Second, the main thing with just about anything in life is communication. Okay, so they go out and do their deal. You have to the people that have the horses and are on the horses, meaning the jockeys and the trainers, the horsemen, have to have faith in the track man, and they have to be able to have faith in communication. What I mean by that is morning, noon, or night, if they see a problem out there, and I don't mean in general, hey, make the track faster, hey, make the track slower. You get that all the time, and those are the messages you ignore. But when you get a call and say, hey, you know, in training, you know that the inside's really deep today, you know, and it's not just a sense that the inside's really deep. It's when the inside's really deep and the rest of the track isn't. So consistency is the number one thing. And those guys, when I say that, I mean the track men, they're doing what they do. But they depend on, you know, sometimes somebody being able to tell them and have enough confidence and not realize they're trying to undermine them. So with Dennis was there between him and I, we had a very good communication with all the horsemen and the people. Even during the races, you get a call from maybe a jock and say, hey, the clods are a little bit big out there. Boom, get on it, take care of it, move on. So that's the first thing that needs to be going on, that line of communication between the people that are out there on it with the personnel at the track, with the track man. And my deal was, here's how I did with the track man. You tell me what you want to do, and I'll back you up. You have to have confidence in letting them do their job. And they can't worry. We're not worried about how fast the races run or how slow the races run, obviously, unless there's a total extremes for a period of time. Safe is what you want. And when someone comes back and complains their horse ran too slow, it's like, you know what? Sorry, bud. They came back safe. So I don't think they're doing anything different. They're doing it's amazing, Steve. You've been in this game a long time. These things just seem to happen in clusters. Is a perfect word that you use. And you know, of course, one is too many. And don't ever think that anyone who ever works at the racetrack around these animals doesn't feel it every time something happens. And that's a fact. But the prevention is. The best thing to do, what they did, is back off a little bit, check it out. They got old Mick Peterson out here. Mick was, I think, Santa Anita might have won one of the first tracks he came to. I think Howie Zucker was on the track committee and brought him out here from Maine when he was up there, and he had his gadgets and was fooling around with stuff. So he's very helpful to bounce stuff off of. He has these, you know, these radar deals that goes down, and I don't know how they do it, but they measure the depth of everything and make sure it's consistent. And they've done that. And believe me, you'll hear it from certain people you listen to, because they don't talk that often. And there's certain people that complain every day about everything. So that just goes in one ear and out the other. And you have your key people that'll tell you, you know, how is it? Great. Good, needs a little of this, needs a little of that. So, like I said, it all goes down to communication, who you listen to, and who you have trust and faith in. And I think you have to have faith in your track man. I think they do, and it's the reason that they're back racing and training. But it's a constant effort. These guys just work hours and hours and hours. You know, we want to know what the weather is, call a track man. I mean, he'll tell you, because they're on top of it out here with the moisture. And, you know, 80% of the time, we meaning Southern California Racing, is worried about keeping enough water on the track to keep it, you know, moist, and because we have so much sunshine and dry weather. But, you know, sometimes when it gets overloaded, they change their way and try to keep things going. But, like I said, it's all about communication and faith in the people that are doing the job.
And I think you said something interesting too, because even before there's potentially, you know, a series of days where, you know, over a 4-day period and you get the four incidents, the radar is up that, you know, something, you know, that you may have people come by the office and say something that, you know, and reach out that, you know, the track changed the last couple of days. I mean, they, you know, they know right away. And at the same time, I thought something Jay Pribman said was very telling too, which was that on Monday, Rick, you had, what, 120, more than that, I believe, horses work, and including the most high-profile 3-year-olds of the campaign, that were out there. So, you know, certainly, the trainers weren't concerned that the track was somehow, you know, putting the horses at risk. It's a very
right.
Awkward dynamic when it comes to this. You don't know what's at the heart of these injuries and these incidents all the time.
No, that was a great point. When you have not only some of the top horses going, but the volume of horses that went on Monday, that showed, that kind of gave it away that, you know what, they're comfortable with it, or they're not going to go. Believe me, I've seen them when they were comfortable with it, and, you know, you just kind of, they don't go out. And so that's good, too. And, you know, Gary Young, I will call him, or I used to call him more in the morning and say, how's, you know, what's going on today, you know? Consistent, good, you know, this or that. And he'll, you know, he would guide me in, and so I knew what I was facing when I got there. So I'm just hoping that avenue of communication is open as we had it. And, you know, and sort of the key to is we learn as we get older. Prevention is a good way to stop a lot of things. And so if you can get a guy that, you know, will call you up, you know, 5 in the morning and say, hey, man, there's something up today. On the track, and you believe them, and then you make a phone call to, you know, whoever you need to, and say, hey, you just got to heads up, watch out for this, and, you know, they fix it quietly. And so I'm just, like I said, I hope that line of communication is open today, and they can, you know, carry on. But anyway, we'll you know, keep your fingers crossed, you move on, and you know, hopefully we go. You know, the rest of me without any incidents. There's no reason why we shouldn't. So as far as the weather goes, it's a little sprinkly here and there. There might be another little more rain, but we're coming to the end of it. So that's good. And many times after a day of rain, the track's the best it ever is.
Exactly.
Because it's got that moisture in there. And, you know, it's something you can't do with a water truck or even, you know, sprinklers get that even distribution of the water. So anyway. We got a couple things going on out here. Of course, we're starting the big push for the we're like 2 months away, 2 months and a week, and looking at the 3-year-old picture. There's only three horses with more than 18 points, and a lot of these horses that are running are under 10 points. Obviously, there hasn't been a ton of races, but after this week and then next week, barrage of 50 point races, I think. We'll start separating those that can take a little bit of a deep breath and say, ha, I'm in, let me go my way. And then there'll be, you know, probably 6 to 10 horses that are going to be under the gun and have to maneuver, maybe do something they didn't want to do to try and get those points to get in there. But starting to get a little bit interesting. And we have a race out here on today, I guess. Today's Friday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do a little allowance race. Going a mile, got Nolo with three real horses in here, meaning real, possibly to take their last test to see if they're going to go forward. Nolo Contesto is in there, Roadster and Desmond, and let's remember Roadster. I mean, when he came on the scene, he was still around when Justify, they were kind of still talked about together, and he was the new Justify last summer, if you remember that. Roadster, oh yeah, you know, so I'm, there's probably a few people that have locked in some money on him already from last year, but Roadster's back from Bob's barn, and you forget how deep that barn is. I mean, he's not even listed on any Derby trail yet, because he's got 5 or 6 other ones on there, but Roadster comes back. Mike Smith obviously retains the mount, going to try and go a mile, and first time around two turns, and we'll see what happens here. Desmond, the most recent runner of the three, and Nolo Contender hasn't been out since January, backed off of the Lewis, probably more because of the track, didn't want to run on a wet track. So he's coming back, been working well, he's gone a mile. I got to remind myself and remind you, when you're looking at these races, even Fountain of Youth-type races and Gotham races, when you're handicapping, just handicap for that race, not necessarily. You might have a horse in there you like for the Derby. Doesn't mean he's going to win the race right now. We're handicapping. I know I used to get caught up in that. Like, oh, well, this horse can't win the Derby. Okay, it's an allowance race. We're talking about today's race. And same with the Fountain of Youth. There's a couple horses in there that I think ahead. Well, he's not going to win the Derby. Okay, forget the Derby. What about today's race? So sometimes you get caught up in that, all of us do, looking ahead instead of trying to handicap the day's races. To me, Desmond on the outside, he does have the recency as well, ran a really bang-up race in the San Vicente, has been training real good. He's not one of those fast type of training horses as you see with Bob, look at Roadster with that 10 and change work. But he's been consistent. It looks like he might do the mile here. And look at the blinkers off. It's one of those, actually more horses win with blinkers off than blinkers on. But check out the stat there for Mr. Baffert, blinkers off. He's run 13 of them in the recent stats and basically won half of them. So that's a big move for him when he's looking to pick up move a horse up a little bit. So today, I think Desmond, being on the outside, having a look at things all the way around, will be very, very, very tough to beat. And it's hard to pick which is the other Baffert, which we talk about. So it probably is Desmond. Roadster will probably take some money. But a very contentious allowance race, and we'll see what happens out of here. They'll still have one more chance after this. Being on the first, they can go to Sunland. They can stay here. So nice little tune-up for that tomorrow. Now, I was wondering, speaking of the Derby, so let's take a step in it. If we were to play Derby roulette, and we had California, Florida, New York, and all others as our roulette choices, who would you take?
Well, that's not fair because you're missing the Mid-America portion with Oakland
well,
and Fairgrounds.
That's all others.
I had
California even money, Florida 3-1, New York 10-1, all others 5-1. That would be my roulette opening line.
Well, the all others, don't forget, you do get the advantage of West Coast shippers to Sunland and to Oakland.
No, I'm talking about kind of where their horses
the base. All right. Well,
yeah. So game winner goes to the Wood. He's still a Californian horse type of thing. So
no.
Anyway,
all right.
Just when I started looking at this again, I mean, it's just amazing how many horses around here are live and going different places. I mean, you have Hollendorfer now with Instagrad, who's going to the Gotham. You've got his Calbred Galilean going to Rebel. He's got probably a Gunmetal Gray for here. And, you know, Baffert's got the two that are running on Saturday. And then Mucho Gusto's going here. And who knows where a couple of these other ones are going. You got the horse that won up north, Simple Twist of Fate, or another Twist of Fate going to Sunland. And it's just amazing how many horses come from here and go. But right now, that we're talking, the Fountain of Youth is obviously the one that comes up, and a lot of talk about that race, which there should be. And after the situation with Justify last year, you know, Hidden Scroll comes along, and look at him, and Phil Mott, one of the Dan Marino of horse racing, you know, trying to get that that Kentucky Derby title, you know, superstar already. Him and I think of him and Asmussen and Hollendorfer, who are the big three that are ready to make that step. And it's amazing the Derby gods sometimes let them in and sometimes they don't. But Bill's got what? He's got two or three on the trail, doesn't he?
Country House. You got Country House
and Mucho, maybe.
Well, Mucho's going to have to play catch up starting today. I guess Tacitus is going to run in the Tampa Bay Derby, but the reviews on him are a little mixed. Country House and Hidden Scroll, they're the prime time players, no doubt, and the other two. We'll see. We'll see about Mucho today. Starting back at six furlongs seems a little, seven or a one-turn mile return gives you a little more hope or foundation, expectation for what could come next. But we'll see.
And, you know, hitting scroll, and, you know, he's not coming back in a lounge race. Well, obviously, we know why, because he needs points. He's trying to get in. I mean, this is the obvious sign that, you know, we're going. We're putting the pedal to the metal. And I was actually surprised to see the 9-to-5 price. I mean, I guess that's what it's going to be for today or tomorrow's race. I can't really take that. I mean, I'm saying he's not going to win, but his 9-to-5 will probably jump on that, probably go down. So I can't take that on a horse, you know, that's done everything right with one time, but the flop and all that stuff. But there's some solid horses in here. I know one of your favorites was Code of Honor, and you know, Shug has backed off a little bit and done what he can. I mean, this horse needs to perform today, and he's going to be a decent price. Bourbon War. I heard Jay right at the tail end of his, when he was talking about Bourbon War, then he wasn't impressed about what was behind him. But, you know, I look at a race like that, they're not looking to prove, they're just trying to see what they have. They're not worried about who they beat. This is the race that is important. And I think that horse is coming up to this race pretty good. I like his style. I think, you know, 10-to-1's a fair price on him. I would definitely include him in here. I think he's on the upswing. He ran a good number last time. He's had a little chance to digest that and Vekoma, you know. He's had 6 works leading up to this, and you know, George sure to hell knows what to do with a good one. And you know, he ran a big race on the Nashua. Not sure if that was planned to back off, but obviously nothing seriously wrong with him. Like I said, he's had 6 real, you know, nice, steady, patterned works leading up to this. So Vekoma, we'll see what goes on with him. And, you know, it's one of these horses I'm talking about. You might like him a little bit later. I'm not sure about today. I think you might need the race here with some of these others that are good horses. Signal Man, another one that's been off since November. Now, he's got 18 points, so he's not as stressed as some of these. He needs to finish in the money a couple of times. He's a nice horse. I think quietly he's gonna run very well in here. And then what about Global Campaign and Stanley Huff? I mean, what a story that is. Would that be?
Yeah, it is. It's great.
If he were able to move on. And his race was sneakily good. He's been favored in both of his starts. You know, he's going to be one of the many that might put a little pressure on Hidden Scroll there if that's able to be done. So very, very interesting race. You know, I guess I'll be looking for a little bit of a price in here, a little Bourbon War, maybe even Code of Honor. But nice race. I mean, good race to kick it off, and I think we're going to have some bang-up races the next weekend with the three-year-olds, too. So it starts out slow, as we talk every year, and all of a sudden these races come up, and boom, we're ready to go. I wanted to ask you and what your thoughts on one more thing that I've been talking to a few people around the racing world. So just on a betting situation. So what we've done, we as collectively, the game, every bet is like the lowest possible denominator. Every bet is 50 cents. We've taken the try to 50 cents. The pick 3 is 50 cents. The pick 5 is 60 cents. Even the pick 6 out here, which is a $2 bet, is now 20 cents. And I get the economics behind it. You know, more people can play, more people can win, and churn it back in, and that's all fine and dandy. But what I'm talking about is of a larger denominational bet, in other words, a larger base bet, to let some payoffs maybe be better. And obviously the bit larger players of the situation is, you know, if a trifecta is going to, for a dollar, is going to pay $100, and for 50 cents it's not paying $50, it's paying $32. You know what I'm saying? There's sure. Too much in there. It's too much easier to spread, and you're not really getting a full payoff. So, I mean, I've talked to a few tracks lately, and we tried to push something over there. It's just maybe a bet a day that has maybe a $5 pick 3 or a $10 double at the end of the day, something along that lines where, you know, it gets you a chance to get out, you know, the take, maybe we have to lower the takeout a little bit, but just a bet where maybe, you know, maybe $5 pick 4 once in a while to get, let's, you know, some of the bigger players or some other, even other people, but where the payoff's going to be solid And I think we've just steered away. Everything is so cheap and so easy to hit the all button that I don't know. What do you think about something like that?
This conversation, the guy to bring in on this is Paul Matisse, and Paul in a couple of capacities, you know, that player committee that was working with Breeders' Cup and you know is going to try to, you know, be introducing some of these other head-to-head wagers. Paul also, when we were in Vegas together, floated, and I mentioned it once, and I'm not sure when Paul's going to take the next step with it, but he was talking about a really fascinating pick four that would tie exactas, having to pick four exactas, pick 1-2 in four straight races, and doing that to replace, you know, some bets that have become that have been more or less quashed by interest in other bets. The pick fives certainly have overwhelmed the early pick four, for instance. So, you know, Paul was talking about that as a replacement. So I think there's concepts. I mean, the you guys at Santa Anita at the time, the way in which you conceived of the super high five, which came from a players committee discussion, disgruntled superfecta bettors who had been displaced, you know, guys that had been seriously attacking $1 superfectas that then had, you know, that ripped out from under them when the minimum went to 10 cents. So this,
right,
the outgrowth was a carryover potential bet when the super high five rolled around. And, you know, this is absolutely an area of worthwhile discussion and experimentation. I have every confidence that, you know, you're, as an idea, as a concept, that you're right. I mean, that a higher denomination or a difficulty factor bet that it would appeal to those displaced players. I mean, there's undoubtedly with what's happened with the jackpot between Del Mar and Santa Anita, there's a displaced group of $2 superfecta bettors. So some sort of a high wire act wager, they're looking for it. And so, you know, what is it? We don't know necessarily, but you're right. You're right on from a theme standpoint, I agree.
Yeah, and I, you know, when I used to visit the Eddie Logan during a contest time, and those are the people I talk to, obviously, that some of the bigger players that come in for contests and, you know, maybe wager a little more than others, and it was overwhelming, like, yeah. So, you know, we tried to mention it, and it didn't get much play here. And, you know, even if, you know, we took away, you got the 50-cent or the 20-cent rainbow deal now, even if you had a $2 pick five, something a little bit stepped up where it's just not as watered down. And you know, I had people say, well, the guy can't afford it. You know, every bet is, I mean, I walk into a showroom, yeah, I want to buy a Ferrari. Well, I can't, you know, it's not for me. I'm going to buy something else. Every bet doesn't have to be for every player.
No. Agreed.
You know, that's what we seem to have tried to do. Oh, well, let's get the, you know, the smaller, you know, the better. Let's get him involved in every bet. It doesn't need to be that way. But on the other hand, you know, if that guy, you know, I remember saving up for the, you know, it was a $5 exacta. You know, he had three races, $5 exactas. And I remember kind of trying to chip away all day. So at the end, you know, the ninth race, and we didn't have trifectas out here, by the way, at the end. So a $5 exacta, that was a big, you know, big deal. When you had, you know, when you had got up to $40 or something, you could wheel a horse with, you know, with something like that. But that was a big deal. I hit the exacta. That was a big thing because it was $5. You know, now it's, okay, I wheeled the first three races and I singled a couple. Okay, great. I mean, that's fine. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about that. I've been kind of talking to a few groups and tracks about something like that. And like you said, trying to come up with the number and the bet and the difficulty in the bet. But I think there's still some stuff out there to be looked at, and I think getting the right group of you know players is the way to go about it, which is the way to go about everything. So, but that's where we're standing here. We're looking forward to you know, like I said, getting on the Derby trail, and I'll talk to you maybe later today about Florida, but headed down there for the sale, for the breeze anyway, to see Tommy, like you mentioned, and
nice.
And do that number.
Excellent. So there's a chance we'll see you this week, and either way, we'll be talking about the big weekend ahead. Hammer, I appreciate it, as always.
All right, Sam, thanks for having us, and you have a great day and good weekend, everybody.
Rick Hammerly, folks, away they go, and away we go into hour three. Let's take a quick timeout and come back. We've got Ed DeRosa to get to, as well as James Scully, and we've got exactly 30 minutes between now and Mike Welch, and I want to give you a full 20 minutes of Welch today, given what we're looking forward to. And, of course, later this afternoon, Mike and Dave Norton and Toby Terrell, they'll have, or not Toby, oh, my gosh, who's the Toby's out west? The, I can't remember the third guy. That's at Palmetto's. Doing the Clocker Report, so you'll have your Gulfstream Clocker Report for tomorrow. For those of you that haven't bought for the year, for the season, certainly the day, this weekend, this package for tomorrow's card will be invaluable. Those maiden races particularly, right? Right in the middle of the card. Let's turn it around into Hour 3 with Ed DeRosa.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing
DRF
Form's
Sports
best
Form
value
Digital
with
Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sarmon Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.